career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day he took his own life.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Could the conflict between Israel and Hamas engulf the Middle East? ABC News contributor Robert Abrams telling ABC's This Week that he's concerned about the conflict expanding.
We can only hope that Iran and its proxies don't take this to a much higher level.
In southern India, 6 people killed, 40 injured when 2 passenger trains collided. In Acapulco, Mexico, the death toll from Hurricane Otis rising to 43. A gunman still at large after a deadly weekend shooting at Massachusetts State College campus, the one about an hour out of Boston in Worcester. Police looking for 18-year-old Kevin Rodriguez after 2 people were shot in the parking lot. Worcester District Attorney Joseph Early Jr.
The stay in place has been lifted, but this is still a very active scene.
One of those shot, a 19-year-old man, is dead. 21-year-old expected to survive. Hollywood mourning the sudden death of Matthew Perry. The Friends star found dead in his Pacific Palisades home jacuzzi Saturday. The medical examiner investigating. This is ABC News. Condolences pouring in from around the world for 54-year-old actor Matthew Perry.
Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is a schoolmate of Matthew Perry, who was born in the U.S. but raised in Ottawa. Trudeau writes on social media that he'll never forget the schoolyard games they used to play, and the world will never forget the joy Perry brought them. Maggie Wheeler played Perry's sometimes girlfriend Janice on Friends. She writes that the joy he brought so many in his too short lifetime will live on. And friend Alyssa Milano writes that Perry was always the funniest person in the room and the kindest. Jason Athenson, ABC News, Hollywood.
Perry was found unresponsive in his home jacuzzi on Saturday evening. Responders saying he was dead when they found him. The LAPD saying there were no signs of foul play on the scene and they're conducting an investigation. Perry opened up about his years of addiction to alcohol and painkillers just last year in his memoir Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing. Number one at the box office, the fright film Five Nights at Freddy's, an estimated $78 million domestically. That despite the low-budget film's simultaneous release in theaters and on streaming platforms. This is ABC News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. It's the time of year when temperatures start cooling down. But experts say climate change is making October nights in Wisconsin warmer more often than not. Here's Mike Moan.
A new analysis from the nonprofit Climate Central says fall evening temperatures in the U.S. have warmed by nearly 2 degrees on average since 1970. And it's even higher in cities like Madison and Milwaukee, which has seen increases of nearly 4 degrees when looking at minimum temps. Climate Central meteorologist Lauren Casey says it doesn't just affect traditional fall activities.
Allergy season has been lengthened by about a month in many locations across the Midwest.
She says that makes it more burdensome for people with more serious respiratory issues like asthma. And the analysis points out that mosquito season is being extended too. Casey says to help mitigate these trends, Midwest residents should do what they can to avoid energy sources that come from fossil fuels. And Casey says adapting to these changes is another important step so that folks aren't caught off guard when the calendar flips to October.
So you can best prepare if you do have asthma, you know, if you are potentially susceptible to mosquito-borne illnesses, all of these things which can impact our everyday lives.
For prolonged allergy seasons, health experts say vulnerable individuals should put some time and research into establishing a medication regimen that works for them. Meanwhile, Casey says the warmer weather results in heavier rain events, which attract more mosquitoes. She suggests that you be more mindful of areas of standing water as the fall drags on. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition, Dom. It's a great day to be a Badger.
Not so much a Packer or a Lions fan. Crudy, good to see you. Happy Monday. Nate, working the board, our fair audience. We start the week all over again. Great to be with you all.
A wonderful comeback victory over Brett Bielema in Illinois. I like when the Badgers beat any Illinois team. So that was an exciting victory.
Yeah.
And then that volleyball game, I got to tell you, I'm still very proud of the UW volleyball program. Perhaps it's being called the best women's volleyball game ever against Nebraska on Saturday night. We watched every set, and it's unfortunate that the Badgers lost at the end, but that was a hell of a volleyball game, man. Still proud to be a Badger. And Dom here at Civic Media, we're proud to announce we got all kinds of sports coming down the pike this week. Hell, the Badger hockey team in the top 25 for the first time in 2 years.
All right.
Badger Bob Johnson used to always say, it's a great day to be a Badger or play hockey. I forget which. But the Badger hockey team, 5-1 playing against, you know, Minnesota there. Hey, playing them Thursday and Friday night. So that'll be exciting. We're going to try to find a place for that. But the Milwaukee Bucks tip off the regular season in 6 Civic Media markets across the state of Wisconsin, Dom. That happens on Thursday night, and then a Sunday night Bucks game, and a Monday night Bucks game. So the Bucks start the regular season, a highly anticipated year. And the Badgers host in Ohio State. I got to tell you.
How do you feel about that one, Michael?
I hate Ohio State. I hate everything about the state. I hate the speaker candidate from there.
Jim Jordan, come on.
I hate Jamie Vance. I don't like anything about the state of Ohio, especially not a Buckeye. And unfortunately, I think they're going to come here and hand us our asses. But after the Illinois win, and they sort of roughed up Penn State. Penn State's ranked number 6 in the nation. Ohio State, currently undefeated, 7-0, ranked number 3 in the nation.
Crudy, are you still salty about the Ohio State? Didn't you lose a bet to some guy in a bar?
Monopoly Paul.
Not so long ago, man.
Well, it's been a while now. It's been a while now. It's been 4 years since we were in Columbus for that debate, man.
That Sicilian interest, 100% interest compounded twice daily. Monopoly Paul, you're gonna owe him some money, man.
Well, that's why I don't like Ohio. And I'm staying the hell out, Dom. Politically, let's start with the great state of Wisconsin, because it is a great day to be a Badger. And Jennifer Rubin over at the Washington Post, she's taken note of the fact the Wisconsin Dems, big wins for the rule of law, might be an inflection point.
Oh, keep your fingers crossed.
Republicans for years have relied on highly gerrymandered districts to achieve what they could not in fair elections. But in related victories over the past 2 weeks, Wisconsin Democrats have beaten back attempts to subvert election results, helping to preserve free and fair elections. And the most important of these concerns, the state Supreme Court and a Republican movement to impeach liberal Justice Janet Protasiewicz over comments she made before joining the court about Republican-led redistricting. Now, Dom, the New York Times reported on the 12th, Robin Voss, the Republican Speaker of the State Assembly, said at a news conference in Madison he would not seek to remove Justice Protasiewicz based on the argument he and fellow Republicans had been making for the past 2 months. That statement she made, calling the maps rigged during her campaign for office this year, compelled impeachment if she refused to recuse herself from a case challenging them. Protasiewicz, elected overwhelmingly by 11 points in April, I'd like to take a small little fraction of the credit, 1 to 2 points tops, but a little credit. Again, Protasiewicz elected overwhelmingly by 11 points in April to the swing state in the state Supreme Court, refused to recuse herself from a redistricting case, a move Republicans previously insisted would trigger an impeachment drive, Dom. But the fate of the Republican plot might have been sealed after Voss convened a panel headed by former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice, the choker, Dom, David Prosser, to assess the matter, only to be told by Prosser that there was no basis for impeachment. Now, subsequent news reports indicated Voss lacked the Republican votes to pull off the stunt. I'm less clear on that point, Dom. How did Republicans prevail in a state with a near supermajority Republican legislature protected by extreme gerrymandering? Early polling suggested the impeachment threat was never popular. Democratic State Party Chair Ben Wickler told Jennifer Rubin that he and his team were able to build on the notion that, and here's a quote, Tom, people hate partisan conflict for partisan conflict's sake. And while not declaring complete victory in a fight to avert a state constitutional crisis, Wickler said in a phone interview that the state no longer faces a short-circuiting of the judicial system. Republicans really did react to public pressure. Did they, Dom?
Curdy Rubin goes on to write, that pressure, unsurprisingly, was the result of Democrats' massive efforts to engage, educate, and enlist the public in pushing back against what amounted to an effort to reverse the voters' April pick of a progressive justice who threatens to upend the GOP grip on power and protect abortion rights. Can't have that, Curdy. When Voss started revving up his base to impeach Protasiewicz, Democrats initially felt somewhat fatalistic, Wickler acknowledged. After all, Republicans control both state legislative bodies by overwhelming margins. However, Wickler galvanized the party to raise $4 million, initiated a door-knocking and ad campaign, and focused media on the latest Republican effort to subvert an election.
Hey, Tom, we're media.
Hey, that's us. Republicans didn't come to their senses about democracy, Wickler said, but they realized they didn't have cover. Once they recognized there might be an enormous price that Democratic Governor Tony Evers could simply replace Protasiewicz with another progressive judge, they beat a retreat. They walked the plank, Wickler said, and found themselves in shark-infested waters.
Did they jump the shark down?
Perhaps. He analogized that Democrats' victory in the 2017 fight over the Affordable Care Act in Washington, when congressional Democrats beat back Republicans' repeal efforts despite their overwhelming numbers. Well, the Wisconsin mobilization would not have been possible without Wickler's insistence on year-round organizing. After Protasiewicz's April victory, the party didn't reduce its staff or outreach efforts, he said. As a result, Democrats were prepared to wage the battle against impeachment. In the state Supreme Court case challenging Republican-drawn maps, if the justices side with plaintiffs, every state senator and state assembly seat could be on the ballot, many running in brand new districts without the advantage of incumbency. Federal district lines remain unchallenged by Democrats, a wise strategic choice, since such litigation could wind up in the highly partisan U.S. Supreme Court. a redistricting victory could create a slew of competitive seats that the state's voters have not seen in decades. In other democracy-related news out of Wisconsin, Republicans have abandoned their attempt to fire the state elections commissioner.
Less clear, Jennifer.
Megan Wolf, attorneys for the legislature's top Republicans, told a judge that a September vote to fire Wisconsin Election Commission Administrator Megan Wolf was symbolic and that Wolf is lawfully holding over in that position despite her appointment expiring July 1st. Wisconsin Public Radio reported on October 16th. That contradicts what some of the lawmakers publicly said in recent months about their efforts to remove Wolf from office. Rubin continues.
If I may, I'm sorry to interrupt, Don, but how nicely WPR calls them big, fat, lying liars.
Well, you can't call them welders, Curdy. Rubin continues, just as Republicans realized impeaching a state Supreme Court justice would raise a storm of protest without a guarantee of success, they turned around on a dime, claiming that the vote to remove Wolf was just messaging. You know, it's messaging, Curdy, and symbolism. Wickler pointed out that the GOP abruptly changed the topic, pushing anti-LGBTQ plus legislation and rejecting other gubernatorial appointees, something practically unheard of in the state. Given Democrats' success, Wickler has begun working furiously with state assembly and Senate Democrats to raise money and recruit and train candidates for what could be a breakthrough election in 2024. Democrats now have a real sense the sun is rising on their political fortunes, he said. Yeah, man, we talked to him last week. He's given me hope, Crudy. Democrats hope their Wisconsin victories can be duplicated elsewhere. Wickler, with Michigan Democrat Chair Laverna Barnes, have been sharing insights and strategy with other state party directors, eyeing possible gains in states such as North Carolina, Ohio, and Arizona. The Wisconsin lesson, says Rubin, even in less than ideal conditions, defenders of the rule of law and democracy can organize and still hope drive public opinion and defeat authoritarian efforts to protect incumbents. Authoritarians depend on complacency and defeatism. Democracy's survival depends on optimism and talented leadership. Wisconsin Democrats certainly have plenty of both, according to the opinion of Jennifer Rubin, columnist over at the Washington Post.
Now, Dominic, we are going to play that interview with Ben Wickler. He joined us last Tuesday on the big show from the Jade Monkey, that funky monkey, the cocktail lounge, the party edition. Well, Dom, tomorrow will be a travel day. As you know, I'm going out to D.C. soon. So we will replay that interview with Ben Wickler. And if you missed it the first time around, well, now's the second chance. Second time's the charm. But I got to tell you, I share the optimism of Ben Wickler. I am proud to be a Badger Democrat, and I think that perhaps not. Perhaps the sun is rising on this new dawn of the Democratic Party here in the state. It's hard to know how to recruit, though, when you don't know what the maps are going to be. But if we get brand new maps for 2024 all across the state, every legislative seat is on the table, Tom.
Everyone. Every single one.
Well, I would feel better about the Democrats' chances than the Badgers' chances against Ohio State this weekend.
You got to have hope, Crudy. You got to have hope.
I do have a little bit of hope, but I also, you know, I have a strong sense of reality. And the bad stuff, it's not done yet. Robin Voss, he hasn't given up. He's just, you know,